Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. In our Old Testament lesson today, we are told to be merciful. We are reminded that things like humility are virtues. That humility today means listening to even the hard words that are spoken in the Word of God, especially in our gospel lesson with Jesus speaking to his disciples. The words that teach us it is very possible for you to handle all the earthly treasure that God gives you in such a way as to lose your eternal treasure. That it's possible to lose it. That the stuff you have given to you by your God, that how you handle that stuff speaks, testifies of how your faith in Christ is doing. That it can either give praise to God on the last day, or it can be used to accuse you of idolatry. In the previous chapter to Luke 16, in Luke 15, Jesus teaches all about the Father's desire for people to be saved. He speaks lastly, the last half of that chapter is that parable of the prodigal son returning to his loving and forgiving Father. A lesson that each of us can put ourselves into because we all, each and every one of us, has no claim on God, but are Christians only because of God's mercy, only because of God's love shown to us in Christ. That God has shown us mercy, that God has forgiven you your sins. That the blood of Christ has made peace between you and the Father. And that the Father loves you. And that that is needed to be known before he even gets to chapter 16. That you need to know the kind of Father you have. A Father who loves and forgives and gives and gives. But then as Christians, Jesus moves into Luke chapter 16, where he speaks specifically to his disciples. That in chapter 16, these are instructions to those who believe. These are teachings for those who are already saved. These are Christ's words of instruction for those who are born again of water and the Spirit for you. That there's no confusing it here. He is not going to be talking about how you are going to be saved by your works. He doesn't do that. The Bible doesn't speak about salvation by works, but only by grace through faith in him. But here, Jesus is teaching you what salvation does to you. How it changes you. And what some of those good works that have been prepared beforehand for you to walk in look like. He's saying, dear Christians, you have a Father who loves you, who has sent me to save you. And indeed in me you are saved. And this is how your life looks now. That the gospel has given you life, and this parable of the unjust steward is given to instruct you about this new life. That God is the owner. The unjust steward is dishonest and is then removed from the owner's household for his careless caretaking. His shrewdness might get praised, but it doesn't mean that he's back in the owner's good graces or household. He's still out. So Christ says to use our earthly wealth for eternal good, because earthly wealth will fail. Jesus says that, so that when it fails, it's meant to warn you. against the evil that each and every one of you will struggle with, the evil of greed, of covetousness, of careless use of what God has given you, of idolatry, sins. That Jesus warns you as his own disciples against sins that involve stuff, money, and especially the love of stuff and money. If the epistle lesson today is given to us as a warning as well, St. Paul warns the Corinthians. He says the chosen ones of Israel were lost due to their lust, due to their greed, due to their outright idolatry, that they desired evil things. They grumbled about God's gifts and what his word said. They didn't like serving him the way he wanted to be served. And then he says that no temptation is given you that God doesn't give an out from. Not that you can resist it, but that you can get out from it. In this case, in the case of your possessions, your money, the way out is repentance and faith, as it is with all sin. That while you still draw breath, the idol or mammon, as Jesus calls it later in Luke 16, that is money or what money can get you, there is still time to put that idol away. But that no one should count on more time. The Lord teaches us this today for a reason, that today is the day of his visitation, that we would be his disciples and learn from his word. So how do we treat the stuff of this life? Our earthly goods, our property, our possessions, our money, our savings, whatever you want to call it. How do we treat that stuff in this life? Or maybe a better question, what's more valuable to you? Money in your bank or a good work that will be praised on Judgment Day? Money or good works? Examine your life, and of course the results will reflect a very short-sighted and sinful view. You are Adam's children, after all. Adam, in perfection, decided to go for the short gain in the face of the eternal reward. And in so doing, by eating of the fruit, knowingly, willingly, he made that first rut in the ground. Ruts that have then been tread over and over again, even by you along your way. But did you know something about good works? Did you know that your good works are going to be used to praise God on the last day? Did you know that your good works will testify to you having faith in Christ in this life? Did you know that your good works speak volumes to unbelievers looking on and keeping score? That good works do not save you, but they are the natural fruit of being saved, the natural fruit of a redeemed child of God. That our generous God has given to each of us, not fairly, as we would call it, but according to his wishes. After all, if it was given fairly, what would we deserve? You probably don't want to answer that. So if being generous and helping others, be it first those in your household, your family, being second your church, and third others in need, if that praises God, if that gives evidence to a living faith that is inside of you, and if that causes pagans to marvel at us Christians and wonder about our Christ, why do you find yourself choosing the short-sighted way of greed? Valuing the possessions more than the good works themselves? It's a good question, but one which will cause you to be convicted of sin if you're honest with yourself. Who gave you what you have? And why do you have it? For what purpose has God so blessed you with whatever you have? He tests you with the lesser goods. He tests you with the earthly treasures in order to exercise you in receiving the greater things, the eternal or heavenly things. Do you have more than you need? If you're honest, in this country, most of us have way more than we need. Do you suppose that that excess of what you need is meant to be used for enjoyments or for those who might need help? What has God said about our money and possessions and what they should be used for? He teaches in His Word that they should be used for care of the home, that is, our families, our households. He teaches in His Word that they should be used for the care of the church, especially for the care of those who teach you, those who share God's Word with you, that is, your pastors. He teaches in His Word that we are to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Yes, pay your taxes. And He says also then that you should give to those in need. First, amongst the household of God, and then those who need in your community. This is how God in His Word has said that all of our possessions should be used. So in hearing all of this and considering these questions, have you found out about your sins yet? For apart from the sixth commandment, these kind of sins of the seventh commandment of greed and covetousness and so forth are most common amongst us. You see, your sins are never really hidden, even if no one else here knows about them. Because there are many things that then show you your sin. The law of God reveals the idolatry of how your stuff is used. When you hear the word of God, then your conscience will also bear witness that you have indeed not been a very good caretaker of God's goods. That the angels in heaven report on us before the Father. That the devil himself loves to accuse us. That's why he gets the name Satan, accuser. But our sins themselves cry out to heaven. The creatures that we harm, their groans are heard in heaven, Scripture says. And yes, the Scriptures also teach that the cries of the poor, the cries of those in need, are heard by God in heaven. That there is no way out. There is no way to hide your sins in regards to careless caretaking or the idolatrous worship of mammon. Now, you are disciples of Jesus. Now confess the sins you have. And remember, Christ today speaks this parable of the unjust steward to His own, His disciples, to you, to those whom He died for, to those who know His love. His love is plainly seen by you, the caretaking of your body and your soul during your whole life, even when you strayed. That this Father you have, whom Jesus has made your Father, is a Father who loves you and forgives and rejoices in your return to Him. That as St. John puts it, he says, "By this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, that you have eternal life because Christ gave up His life." That's Christ's love for us. John then tells us about our lives of temporal or earthly sacrifice because of the eternal treasures promised to us. That he says then that we ought to lay down our lives for our fellow Christians. Not only including dying for each other if necessary, but chiefly in our day-to-day lives, in mortifying or putting to death the sinful and selfish flesh with all of its evil desires, like the ones that the love of money creates. John then asks us, if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? 1 John chapter 3. He then encourages us to not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. That is, we show our love in good works. That good works are more valuable than any amount of money or anything that money can get us. Our careless caretaking or our bad stewardship can certainly accuse us, as it has done this morning. But living as children of God, redeemed, set free, with eternal treasures promised to us, our stewardship can also help us understand that we are indeed God's children, and He is at work in our lives. That our hearts cannot condemn us, as St. John says, that God is greater than our hearts. That our God forgives sinners. That means you. That our God has made you His own, in His own disciple, by baptizing you and by this teaching. That your salvation comes by faith in Christ alone, and that same Christ then instructs you about the good things to do as the children of God in this life. Good works. Good works that will bring praise to our God and Father on the last day. Good works that will give evidence to your faith in Christ, and good works that may just make others scratch their heads and wonder about how generous those Christians are in their care and their keeping of each other, and in even towards strangers. Look, God sees how you handle the earthly things as a test for the heavenly things. Now, you think, flip that around. How has God handled the heavenly things for you? Can you then trust Him in the earthly things? In Christ, the answer is most certainly yes. In the name of Jesus, Amen.